Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, that was a very interesting game last night, to say the least. I mean, it was a good game, but didn't come without its drama. So let's get right into it. The Baltimore Ravens pretty much dominated this game from start to finish. There was a little bit of closeness in the around the second quarter, but for the most part, the Ravens had control of this game. They did get the win 34-20. But the unfortunate news was Joe Burrow, he ended up injuring himself in about the second quarter, I believe. And basically what happened was earlier in the day when he was getting off of the plane or the team bus, somebody had noticed that he was wearing like a glove. It kind of looked like it was connecting to his wrist. And so nobody really made much of it. And then the game starts and Jadeveon Clowney happens to sack him, or at least throw him down, and kind of lands on his hand awkwardly. Then he drops back to pass and misses a pass, and you could just see him wince over in pain. Then you turn to him over on the sideline, and the dude cannot throw a football. They're throwing him they're showing him trying to throw a couple of passes, and didn't work out. Like the ball literally just would not stay in his hand. And so at that point, you know something's going on. Well, it turns out basically, right as before, as a couple hours before I started recording this, it was announced that Joe Burrow is done for the season with a torn ligament in his wrist. So that's a huge blow to the Cincinnati Bengals team. They've been surging. Yes, now they've now lost two games in a row, but I mean, when they've got Joe Burrow, they're a damn good team. But unfortunately, they no longer have Joe Burrow, so this is probably going to be a long haul for them because they've got some really difficult opponents coming up as well. Turning to the Baltimore side of things, though, whether Joe Burrow or not was injured, I feel like they would have won this game handily just because their defense was really putting it down. And then offensively, they were just clicking on all cylinders. Lamar Jackson had a great game, 16 for 26, 264 yards and two touchdowns. Gus Edwards added two touchdowns. And then Odell Beckham Jr. had a pretty solid game with 116 yards. So overall, it was a very good game from the Baltimore Ravens, but just very bad news for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now moving on to the rest of Week 11. In my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba last week, I went 8-6, so that bumped my record up to 95-55. Last week, Simon went 7-7, so he bumped up to 92-58, so now he is three games behind me. And so let's see what we've got with the rest of Week 11. Beginning with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Browns are a 4.5-point favorite. And speaking of missing the rest of the season, the scumbag with a capital cum, Deshaun Watson, is out for the rest of the season as well. He fucked up his shoulder in the last game, and it was announced earlier this week that he is going to miss the rest of the season. That is just too bad for that fucking asshole. As you could tell, I'm not very sympathetic or empathetic towards that. I hate that guy. He's a piece of shit. So I wouldn't care if I saw his fucking bone hanging out of his goddamn leg in a game. That's how much of a scumbag with a capital cum I think he is. Anyways, back to the game. I don't really think that's going to affect this game much. Excuse me. But overall, I felt this was going to be a God damn it. Sorry, I have something stuck in my throat. I'm going to pause this for a second. All right, sorry about that. Got a little bit of a dry throat there and got something stuck and would have just kept on coughing, so I needed to go grab some water real quick because that would have been terrible to listen to. Anyways, back to the game at hand, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Browns are a 4.5-point favorite. As I said, I don't think the fact that Deshaun Watson's out playing is really going to be a big deal just because I felt like this was going to be an ugly game to begin with. I feel like it's going to be all defense and that the scores are probably going to be mostly field goals for the most part. So I have the Cleveland Browns winning this one 17-13. And this is actually the only disagreement that Simon and I have this week. He's picking Pittsburgh to win 23-13. I would not be surprised at whoever wins this matchup, though. It is a division matchup. And then, you know, missing Deshaun Watson now, it takes a huge chunk out of this. It's already wavering Cleveland Browns offense. So I wouldn't be shocked to see the Steelers get the win because they've been just winning in weird ways. But I just kind of am leaning towards Cleveland in this one. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 10.5-point favorite, and I pretty much expect this one to be just the Detroit Lions all day. The Chicago Bears will be getting Justin Fields back, but I don't think that's a big deal. Offensively, they're terrible, and I mean, just overall, they're not a good team at all, whereas Detroit is an excellent team, and I've got Detroit rolling 41-10, and Simon also has Detroit winning 26-17. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite. The Packers have just been awful. Offensively, they can't get anything going. Defensively, they don't look terrible. But, I mean, when they're out there the whole time, it's kind of difficult for them to actually win the game when the offense can't do shit. Whereas the Chargers, yes, they've been getting blown up defensively. But offensively, they're getting it really going. And last week, they had a huge game offensively, even though they fell short. But this week, I don't think they're going to fall short. I do think they're going to go into Green Bay, get the win 27-17. And Simon also has the Chargers winning 24-20. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 10.5-point favorite. And the Raiders are rolling. They've got a couple of wins here, but against two shitty teams. So I think this is finally going to be a legitimate test for them, which I believe they're going to fail because I just don't think they're that good of a team. Whereas Miami, they are one of the best offenses in the league. But defensively, they've got a lot of issues. But I don't think they're going to have any issues this week. The Las Vegas Raiders offense is just absolutely atrocious. And I just kind of feel like Miami's going to roll in this one 31-10. And Simon also has Miami winning this one 27-17. Then we have the New York Giants at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Commanders are a 9.5-point favorite. The Giants are just having one of the worst seasons of all time. It couldn't get worse. It just kind of feels like each and every week one of their quarterbacks is getting injured. Somebody else is getting injured, and they just don't look good at all in any way, shape, or form. Offensively, defensively, special teams. They're yelling at each other on the sidelines. Whereas Washington, they're not that good of a team, but they play with heart. And they're going to be at home, so I've got Washington winning this one 23-7, and Simon also has Washington winning this one 27-16. Then we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Cowboys are an 11.5-point favorite. The Panthers are a terrible team. I don't feel like this is going to be a close game at all. I feel like it's just going to be kind of a typical Cowboys game against the terrible-ass team where they just score a bunch of points. Defensively, they take care of business, and I have them winning big 41-10. And Simon also has begrudgingly picked my Dallas Cowboys over his Carolina Panthers as well, 31-17. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 6.5-point favorite. This is a division matchup, so I feel like it's going to be a close game regardless, but I think Jacksonville's coming off of a tough loss last week. The Titans are just not that good. So I feel like Jacksonville's going to get back in order this week and get the win 24-20. And Simon also has the Jaguars winning 23-16. Then we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Houston Texans. Right now the Texans are a 5.5-point favorite. The Cardinals do have Kyler Murray back, so that's a good thing. But overall, they don't really have much going on. Whereas Houston, they're coming off of last week's huge win. C.J. Stroud is just having one of the most phenomenal rookie seasons that has ever happened in the league. And I just feel like they're a much better team than the Cardinals. They play with a bit more heart. They're going to be at home. So I've got the Texans winning a close one, 28-23. Simon has the Texans kicking ass, 34-17. Then moving on to the late afternoon games, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 10.5-point favorite. And I just feel like the Niners got back on track last week. The Buccaneers are absolutely atrocious, and I just feel like this is going to be a game where the Niners just roll over the Buccaneers 30-17. And Simon also has the Niners rolling over the Bucs 41-13. Then we have the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 7.5-point favorite, which sounds like a huge favorite to me just because the Bills did not play them well earlier this season. The Bills have not really played anybody well at all this season. This is a division opponent. And while the Jets are pretty fucking awful, especially offensively, the Bills haven't had much of an identity at all this season in any way, shape, or form. But with that being said, the Jets are just atrocious, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think this is going to be a bit much different game than it was earlier in the season. I feel like Buffalo is going to get it together. They're not going to blow them out of the water, but I still think they're going to get together, have a solid game here. And I've got the Bills winning 20-10. And Simon also has the Bills winning 27-13. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now the Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. The Rams, they've just been an up-and-down team. They've had no consistency at all. Even beyond the injuries, they just have been just an absolutely atrocious team. Whereas Seattle, they've had their moments. They've had their down moments, but they've also had their good moments as well. So I feel like Seattle's just a much better team offensively and defensively. So I've got Seattle winning a close one, 20-14. Simon also has Seattle winning a close one, 27-21. Then we have Sunday Night Football, which is the Minnesota Vikings at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite, and I feel like this is when the Josh Dobbs train is going to come to a halt this week. I feel like the Denver Broncos defense has really started to get it going. They've played two solid, spectacular games, been getting turnovers, been getting at the quarterbacks, and they've been getting at good quarterbacks as well. So I feel like this is going to be I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game, really close, but I feel like the Broncos are starting to get it together and starting to play much better football. Whereas the Vikings, yes, they're on a winning streak right now. Yes, they look like a pretty solid team, but I feel like they're going to fall off this week. And I've got the Broncos winning a close one, 21-17. And Simon also has the Broncos winning a close one, 27-20. Then Monday Night Football is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, this is a Super Bowl rematch. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite. And I feel like this is absolutely going to be a close game between two really good teams. And wouldn't be shocked if it comes down to, you know, some last-second type of game-winning drive here for a walk-off field goal, walk-off touchdown, something of that nature. So I definitely think it's going to be a close game. But I just, in my opinion, think the Eagles are the better team. I think they've just played much more consistent football this season. And the Kansas City Chiefs, while yes, they've only got two losses on the season, they've had their moments as well, and they've had to win real ugly games. And I feel like this is the type of game where you don't want to win ugly. And I feel like the Eagles are just going to get the better of the Chiefs in this one. And I have the Eagles winning a close one, 23-20. Simon also has the Eagles winning a close one, 29-20. And bye weeks this week, we have the Atlanta Falcons, Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots, and the New Orleans Saints. Moving on to basketball. You know, I haven't discussed a whole lot of basketball lately just because it just got going. But it is kind of funny because the Clippers have yet to win a game since they traded for James Harden. They are 0-5 since they traded for James Harden. Overall, their record is 3-7. They are one of the worst teams in the league, and it's pretty fucking hilarious. So how is that trade working out for you, Clippers? I don't think it's working out that well at this point in time. You know, even Ty Lue, their coach, has said this is one of the most difficult coaching seasons he's had, and we're only a couple weeks into the season. So we'll see how that goes for you, Clippers. Now, on the other side of things, the Philadelphia 76ers are looking pretty damn good ever since they traded away James Harden. So they were on an 8-game winning streak. They now have lost 2 games in a row. But before that, they were the hottest team in the league. And getting rid of James Harden has obviously been a great move for them. And Joel Embiid, he is just picking up right where he left off. He's having a fantastic season. He leads the league in scoring right now, just averaging about 31 points per game. So they're looking pretty good. Then the Dallas Mavericks, also looking pretty damn good. They're 9-3 on the season right now. They just are explosive offensively. Luka Doncic, he is having an amazing season so far. He's top five in scoring in the league as well. So Mavericks looking really good. Then the usual suspects of looking good, that would be the defending champions. The Denver Nuggets are 9-2, and Nikola Jokic is still the triple-double king. It's like he's trying to get another MVP and trying to get another championship. The guy is just unstoppable and looks phenomenal, at least so far at this point in the season. Then we also have Draymond Green was suspended 5 games earlier this week because he got in yet another fight during the Minnesota Timberwolves game. There was a little scuffle. He got right in the middle of it, kind of choke held a guy by the throat. And, you know, Draymond is Draymond. He's been suspended multiple times for mostly punching dudes in the junk, but he's definitely had his moments where he gets suspended. And here's just another one, 5 games. He's going to be missing due to suspension. And, you know, the Warriors, they started off the season real hot, but so far they've been pretty cold. And, you know, Steph Curry, he's injured right now. Nothing major, but he's still injured. And so we'll see what happens with the Warriors, but it's not looking too good for them right now. Then we had some baseball end-of-the-year awards. The National League MVP was a unanimous vote for Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Atlanta Braves. So that's no shocker there. He had the first 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases season from any player ever. And, I mean, he just dominated the league all season long. So, of course, he was the MVP and unanimous. So, can't argue with that. Then the American League MVP, once again, he was unanimous as well. Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels. He, you know, pitcher, hitter. He was having a phenomenal year up until the point he got injured. And it was really unquestionable that he's the MVP. And that's actually his second MVP in 3 years in the league. So, that's just proves what an amazing player he is. Then the National League Cy Young Award went to Blake Snell of the San Diego Padres, which is crazy because he actually started the season off pretty shaky, but then really got things going and just would not let up. And, you know, he played for the Padres, a terrible ass team, and to still pitch like that and be that good, congrats to him. And then the American League Cy Young went to Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees. He was about the one and only good thing about the New York Yankees this season, so good on you, Gerrit Cole. Then the National League Rookie of the Year went to Corbin Carroll of the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was just obvious from the jump. The guy literally, basically, game one. You know, he's got the he took the record for the rookie to have the most stolen bases in a season, and he just really had a fantastic season. The Diamondbacks did end up going to the World Series, and he was a huge part of it, so obviously he was an easy choice for Rookie of the Year. Then the American League Rookie of the Year went to Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles. He was also huge in playing a role as to why they were so good this season and really stayed on top. And then the last bit of baseball news, it is official. The Oakland A's will now be the Las Vegas A's because their move to Las Vegas was approved by all of the baseball owners earlier this week. So the Oakland A's will now be officially the Las Vegas A's. I can't remember exactly when they're moving, if it's next year, a couple years from now, but it's official now. I mean, we pretty much all knew that it was happening. It just now is officially official. So let's move on to the top five list for this week. Since CJ Stroud has just been having such an amazing rookie season this year, I decided this week's top five list is going to be the top five NFL rookie debuts. Just five athletes who just made extreme impacts in their rookie season. And actually, all five of them did go to Super Bowls. Not all five of them won Super Bowls, but all five of them did go to Super Bowls. Not all five of them, three of the five are in the Hall of Fame right now. One, I think, could potentially get there, but probably not. And then another, I feel like two, they've got the potential to go, but they're definitely not first balloters. And then one of them, he he's already been nominated and hasn't been in yet, but that's not to say he won't go in. But all five of these guys had fantastic careers, but they also had great rookie debuts. So let's start it off with number five on my top five NFL rookie debuts, Marcus Allen. He was drafted 10th overall by the Los Angeles Raiders in 1982. This was the first year that they actually ended up playing in Los Angeles, and he was pretty stoked on that because he played for the USC Trojans, so he didn't have to move. He didn't have to go anywhere. Unfortunately, this ended up being a strike-shortened season for the NFL, so he didn't get a full season. But with that being said, even though he didn't get a full season, he still had a phenomenal season. In a strike-shortened season, Marcus Allen had 697 yards rushing and led the Raiders to an 8-1 season, and they would end up going to the divisional round of the playoffs that year. And ultimately, Marcus Allen would go on to be one of the greatest running backs of all time. He would have some of the most fantastic plays you will ever see a running back have. Ultimately, they would end up going on to winning a Super Bowl a couple years later. Then at number four on my top five NFL rookie debuts, I have Jamal Lewis. He was drafted in the fifth round by the Baltimore Ravens in 2000. He was drafted in the fifth round, so he wasn't really expected to be anything crazy. But this guy had one of the funnest. To me, Jamal Lewis was an excellent running back to watch. I really enjoyed the dude's career. He was in his rookie season. He was the youngest player ever to rush for 200 yards and have a 200 yard game in one game. Oh, by the way, that game was against my Dallas Cowboys. That's how I remember that one. But his rookie season, he ended up with 1,364 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. He would ultimately make the all-rookie team. And also in this season, the Ravens would make a fantastic playoff run in the wild card. And he was a huge part of this playoff run. So in the wild card round, they played the Denver Broncos. He would have 110 yards and 2 touchdowns in his rookie season. Then they would move on to the divisional round where they played the Tennessee Titans. Jamal Lewis would have a touchdown in that game. Then in the AFC Championship game, they played the Oakland Raiders. And in that game, Jamal Lewis would have 100 yards. Then in Super Bowl 35, in which they would kick the absolute shit out of the New York Giants, he had 105 yards and a touchdown. He was the second rookie ever to have 100 yards in a Super Bowl, and also the youngest running back to ever score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So he just, not only did he produce, but he produced in the biggest games on the line in his rookie season. Now, while this was an amazing rookie debut, he wasn't really the backbone of the team. Not, like I said, he obviously made a huge impact, but he was not the backbone of this team. This team was pretty much all defense, and then, of course, he was a huge part of the offense. But that's quite the debut. It was really hard not to put him at number one, but I just didn't, because really these top three guys made such an impact on their teams and did such huge things their rookie seasons that I couldn't put Jamal Lewis over them. But Jamal Lewis actually ended up with the Super Bowl ring. That's what everybody wants. And in your rookie season, to do what he did, that was extremely impressive. But believe me, it was really difficult to not even put him at two. But that just tells you these top three guys really made an impact their rookie seasons. So at number three on a top five NFL rookie debuts, Cam Newton. He was the first overall pick by the Carolina Panthers in 2011. And this dude, the second the Panthers put him in the game, he had so many, like, I couldn't even write down how many fucking good games Cam Newton had this season. And yes, the Panthers did not make the playoffs or anything this year, they wouldn't make the playoffs, but like, just the impact that Cam Newton had on each and every game was just fucking phenomenal. So he would end up with, at the end of the season, 4,051 yards passing, which ended up being a rookie record, which he broke by Peyton Manning, nonetheless. He ended up with 21 passing touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 706 rushing touchdowns, and 706 rushing yards and 14 rushing touchdowns. So the guy had not only just an insane year for a rookie, but just a flat out insane year. He would, of course, end up winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, hands down, because, I mean, I remember this year. I remember when they put in Cam Newton. I can't remember who was their quarterback prior to Cam Newton, but Cam Newton didn't get put in until, I want to say, like week four, week five. It was mid-season, kind of. But, you know, from the second they put him in, man, he just went off. And they would ultimately end up going to the Super Bowl a couple years later. He would win an MVP in his time. Now, he's no longer in the league, mostly due to injuries, because he played hard. I mean, when you're a running quarterback, it's difficult to not suffer the injuries that you suffer, and it's really difficult to make your career last. But Cam Newton, especially his rookie year, just came on strong. And there were a lot of questions about him. Not from me. I actually was a huge Cam Newton fan when he was in Auburn. I felt like he was going to hit the league and do exactly what he did. And hell, I mean, I remember his MVP year. I mean, honestly, the only reason why they lost that Super Bowl is because of Von fucking Miller, who was able to hold down Cam Newton and just really frustrate him for the day. But Cam Newton had a fantastic rookie season, one of the greatest of all time. Then at number two on my top five NFL rookie debuts, Lawrence Taylor. He was the second overall pick by the New York Giants in 1981. He would end up with 9.5 sacks on the season. I mean, the first game, he made a huge impact for the New York Giants. He would end up as Rookie of the Year, but also in his rookie season, Defensive Player of the Year. That's how impactful he was. The Giants would make the playoffs that year. They would lose in the divisional round. And then ultimately they would go on to win a couple more Super Bowls with Lawrence Taylor. And then, of course, Lawrence Taylor would go on to be known as one of the greatest football players of all time, but especially on the defensive side of things. But people knew the second this dude hit the field his rookie year, it was over. He was everywhere. He was a huge impact for the Giants, and just defensively, he was a killer. But number one on my top five NFL rookie debuts, Dan Marino. He was selected 27th overall by the Miami Dolphins in 1983. He actually wouldn't start this season as the starting quarterback. He would get the start finally, and I believe it was week six when he finally made his debut. But it was on. Now, the reason why I had to put Dan Marino at number one, because like I said, it was difficult. These four guys kind of going back and forth with all of them. Like I said, Jamal Lewis won the Super Bowl his rookie year. So what's better than that? Well, Dan Marino literally just owned this 1983 season, and he started in week six, and he was a rookie for a pretty bad team as well. So here are some records that Dan Marino either owned at the time or currently owns right now. So a rookie record, he had a 96 passer rating. He also had the lowest percentage of interceptions with the 2.03. He also led his conference in passing, the AFC conference. His completion percentage was 58.45, which was also a rookie record. The Dolphins would end up with a record of 12-4. They would actually go on to the divisional round of the playoffs. He did have a solid game with two touchdowns, but unfortunately he also threw two interceptions, which kind of cost them the game. But Dan Marino really came on strong. There were a lot of questions about him actually leading up to the draft, which I really wasn't aware of at the time, but he fell just because there were a lot of questions about him. And, I feel like he ended up in the right place at the right time. He would end up going to the Super Bowl the following year, losing the Super Bowl, and basically never getting back there. But Dan Marino definitely had a fantastic career outside of never winning a Super Bowl, which probably bothers the fuck out of him, because that's what we always talk about with Dan Marino. But then there's always the Dan Marino apologist. Oh, it's okay, he didn't win a Super Bowl. No, it's not okay that he didn't win a Super Bowl. Ask the dude if he thinks it's okay he didn't win a Super Bowl. Because I know for a fact he would answer that in a different way, because I've actually heard interviews with him before where he has said such things as, one interview was So you get a ring when you win the championship game, the AFC or the NFC championship game. You get a ring. But most of us aren't aware of that because nobody talks about that fucking ring because that's just a stupid AFC and NFC championship ring. All of us give a shit about the Super Bowl ring, you know, the game that actually matters. So one time, somebody actually asked Dan Marino, do you wear your AFC championship game? He looked him straight in the face and said, no, that's the loser's ring. So if you think it doesn't bother Dan Marino that he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, you're fucking stupid and you're just being a loser apologist. Anyways, he still had a fantastic rookie season. He did overall have a great career, just missing out on that Super Bowl. So that is my top five list for this week, the top five NFL rookie debuts. As always, you can go to my website and sign up for the preferred sports books from Sports Talk with Trop. Just go to my website, katietrop.net, click on the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and you will see a banner at the top that says Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. Click on that. You can sign up for a few different sports books if your state allows you to. So go ahead and take a look at that. Enjoy the great weekend of sports. I haven't even talked about college basketball yet, and that's going on right now. So I'm sure I will be talking about that at some time. Maybe I'll throw that in next week on Monday or Wednesday's show. But regardless, enjoy this jam-packed full weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.